Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Welcome to podcast number 16 of the Healthcare IS podcast. This is Dave Cushon, managing partner of the organization. Thanks for joining us. Today is one of our interview podcasts, and we're really excited to have our guest, John Poinkinen. John is going to be talking with us about social media and healthcare IT, specifically in the pharmacy. So with that, let's get going right on to our interview. Okay, welcome to the interview section of our podcast today. Today we're continuing our podcast interview series on how social media is being used out in the marketplace, in the medical world, and specifically in pharmacy. Today, our guest has a lot of experience and exposure to that area. Our guest today is John Poinkinen. John is on the faculty at the University of Massachusetts Lowell in the Department of Health Informatics and Management. Prior to that, he was the director of clinical informatics for 7 years at UMass Memorial. John has also been a member of the ASHP Executive Committee section, specifically in pharmacy informatics. John, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks, Dave, and thanks for your ongoing education of the pharmacy and the medical profession and all that you do in social media and blogs and Twitter and every place else you seem to pop up.
All right. Well, thanks for mentioning that. I appreciate it. So, John, I know that through our discussions that we've had over the last year or so, specifically as it relates to these topics, that you've been heavily involved in social media tools, getting out information as it relates to pharmacy informatics. And even in the past year, things have evolved quite a bit. Can you just talk a little bit about and give our listeners some perspective on how you view social media and what kind of an impact it's having and where you're seeing it being utilized today?
Sure. I mean, I'll take it from maybe two different perspectives, one a professional one and maybe one is from a personal one. I think there's another dimension that I'm less experienced in, and that is from a professional presence point of view. I don't own a pharmacy, but I think there's legitimate things that might be a separate podcast for an owner of a infusion pharmacy or a community pharmacy. So on a personal basis, I got involved a number of years ago, and I viewed it as a way to build my own personal brand. Pharmacy informatics continues to be an up-and-coming segment of pharmacy practice, and there was a need to disseminate information in that regard. And so Chad Hardy, a pharmacy informaticist, and I started a blog called RX Informatics. We've had a number of – so it's rxinformatics.com, and we've posted 200 or 300, I forget now how many posts we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, to that site specifically around pharmacy informatics. And it sort of fills the blog anyway, filled that void between, writing a journal article, which I've done a fair amount, but that's a very arduous, time-consuming – sometimes excruciating process to get things published.
Sure.
Going out on the side of the road and, using a bullhorn to broadcast things. So the blog sort of somewhere in between those spaces to get ideas, new ideas, things that you come across out to a wider audience. And we did that for a number of years, and I think it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm. I've been to that site quite a bit going back a couple of years. I think it was one of the first sites where I could find consistent updated information specifically around pharmacy informatics topics, pharmacy IT topics. It's always been a very useful tool that I've used. Where have you – I know throughout your career you've transitioned from being a director of clinical informatics recently onto into a faculty role. What are some of the things that are evolving in your role that, maybe 10 years ago there weren't social media tools out there, but you're using what you consider to be social media today?
Sure. So, you know, I think 10 years ago, so I'd been a pharmacist for probably more years, I'd like to admit, but in the range of 34, I think, 34, okay. 35. The avenue that I had taken in the past was really through professional organizations to not only network, well, to network with individuals, but also to engage in social media in a different context, in publishing newsletters and, you know, I was president of a state society. And so you got to interact and pursue your passions of communicating pharmacy and pharmacy informatics items primarily through that method. So with the dawn of social media, it gave the opportunity, and it gives the opportunity for lots of people to use the social media aspects to reach a much wider audience. And so I think consequently what has occurred is sort of further and further segmentation in interests. I don't think a newsletter on pharmacy informatics would have garnered a wide audience 10 or 12 years ago. I think we were up around 1,000 from a website point of view. It wasn't huge, but from a pharmacy informatics point of view, we were getting 1,000 hits a week. And I thought that was pretty good get the word out. Just a brief point about rxinformatics.com. Chad Hardy and I have sort of taken a little bit sabbatical. We probably should have posted this, but part of the evolution of particularly blogging, there's a burnout factor. And so I'm not sure we ran out of ideas. We ran out of energy to continually post on a regular basis.
Sure.
So we haven't posted in a while. And certainly if anybody's out there would like to do some guest posts, we're more than happy to entertain that. I mean, we don't make money on the site. It was more of a labor of love. So anyway, that's just the general evolution of, I think, sure, blogging and social media in general. It has its segments of great inspiration followed by periods of what do I do now?
Absolutely. You know, it could be hard to keep that up. I mean, we know here, we've got a team here that puts information online on a consistent basis, but you certainly have to find ways to keep that going. And, you know, just to give the listeners some reference, I think 1,000 hits a week is substantial when you consider the size of a niche out there. And I think that's what's really important, is these sites evolving to have a very clear audience. There could be bigger sites, but many different people drawing to a particular site for information. But the way you keep getting people back and forming a community is to be very targeted in the information you're providing to a specific audience. So,
I think that's key for anybody utilizing social media is to not overwhelm people, but continually tweet, blog, post on your passion, and eventually that passion comes through and becomes contagious.
Absolutely.
I know that's that comes through when I follow people, and that's pretty much been my strategy to date. I don't have there's lots of people who will charge you a fair amount of money on a formalized social media strategy,
sure,
for your personal branding and personal business. I think my message is be genuine to yourself. And people will recognize that over time.
Absolutely. Now I know you're you use Twitter quite a bit, and I think it's probably in the professional world a tool that hasn't been utilized to its capacity. I can recall a few years ago wondering why I would use something like this. And especially, I think, when you think about following friends and such, it might be from a generational standpoint, but there's not a lot that I personally tweet under 160 characters that friends follow me and care to read or what have you. But what I noticed over time, though, is that with some of the media outlets, they tend to tweet their articles with hashtags. And what I found is that over time, it kind of began, I had some personal interests and I began to, you know, do searches with a hashtag and a keyword. And it almost for me has become my source of getting information. I mean, you could go to Google and Google a keyword, but I just find that from a Twitter perspective, it's just brought to me a lot more concise and of course dated as well. So as a user of Twitter, how have you used it, or how have you seen it being used out there in a way that's helped you from a professional standpoint?
So I use Twitter a fair amount. I'll carve out at least once a day, or maybe a couple times a day. At this point I use it as a primary news source for informatic topics, but also general news sources. I mean, I have a list of general news sources. I have a list of medical informaticists. I have a list of pharmacy informaticists. And so I think it's just a fabulous way to gain information. I have a clinical list, right? So I follow some terrific people in the clinical space around infectious disease and hyperlipidemia and things I'm interested in. So I feel it has grown into a primary news source. I had a Twitter epiphany around news 3-4 years ago. There was just let me relay this briefly. I mean, there was a train accident in Washington, D.C., and I happened to be in D.C. at the time and happened to see a Twitter stream about it. And so got quite involved in looking at all the people who were involved in the train crash. Got to my hotel at night and watched the news and was woefully disappointed in the news watching experience versus being absolutely captivated in reviewing the citizen journalism of people involved in the crash as it happened. It was a spectacular experience on the different mediums. Tweeting on pharmacy informatics isn't that as dramatic as that, mm-hmm. but I think getting information from people who are doing things in your interest is a really compelling way to gain insight and information.
Absolutely. I mean,
for example, this morning we had a Twitter conversation with Jeff Kane from University of Kentucky. He tweeted an article around professionalism and tweeting that I thought was very timely. And, mm-hmm. and we had a little discussion today just in preparation for this.
Absolutely. I saw that. And I was going to say it really opens the doors and gives people let me rephrase that. It allows people to get an opinion from untraditional sources. And you still have to come to, you have to be able to sort through what you think is relevant or not relevant, but it really changes the game when you have access to so many people like that you can follow and have opinions out there. Is from what I see.
Yeah, there's a rap against Twitter being not accurate, and I think you do have to put some kind of filter on it. But as you indicated, the tweeting of articles that people are reading is still a primary source of knowledge gathering for me.
I think you have to certainly sort through to determine what's accurate or not, but I don't know if we would ever say that just because something comes from a traditional news source that's always reported accurate, perfectly accurate as well. So yeah. I think, when you take that into consideration and, it is interesting to me, I tend to find that if I want some things that are more up to date, I go to Twitter and I search a topic and it gets there before, the news at night for sure. And many times ahead of some of the major internet news outlets. So it just seems to be a different avenue there. What do you think being in faculty right now, how has training been affected? How are you using that in your setting day to day?
Sure. So one of the things I've been doing since September is sharing with my students information, not through Twitter or Facebook, but with Evernote. Evernote is a really interesting product. I don't know what I did before Evernote, to be honest, about gathering and storing information. But with my students, I have a public Evernote page where I where I post assignments, information, updates, articles I'm considering, articles that they're assigned to. So they get a sort of a idea of where I'm going in the course, and where things and concurrently getting up to date information on health systems and informatics. And so it's has worked pretty well. You don't get the in-depth stats as you do from an internet site. But our students have really appreciated it. It's sort of a transparency in teaching is one way to look at it. And it's worked really, really well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have, obviously, we're just having a conversation here, and I have, you know, I ask a question not really knowing where you're going to be headed with it, just because I want to get your opinion on things. But I'll add that we, you know, everybody in our company, Healthcare IS, we all have Evernote accounts and shared files, and I'm probably creating 3 or 4 new notes a day minimum, just on everyday thoughts to articles and that sort of thing. And the search capability is fantastic. So if anybody's heard of it, not tried it, you know, I know there's some free trials here. I'm just bringing it up as a tool that has worked for us as well. So that's very interesting. You just happened to say that because we use that every day
here. Yeah. We've on rxinformatics.com, we've a half a dozen posts, called Your Peripheral Brain, where we talk about Evernote and some other tools. There's a Boston-based company that's a competitor, you know, SpringPad, which is a competitor, which has a little different spin on things. But there's a lot of these collaborative, and I would term them somewhat social media, but collaborative environments to be able to work together and to make it public. I don't. I'm happy to share stuff that I'm doing in my course. That's not proprietary. I mean, it is knowledge sharing across the spectrum.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great to bring the awareness there, because these things tend to intertwine with each other. The lines are a little blurry on, you know, collaborative, social media. Part of social media is to become more collaborative. So you bring up a great point. Tell me, as we kind of wrap up, do you have any final thoughts, some things that you are using or see happening out there that might give the listeners some ability to bring some awareness on some new trends that are happening that you're seeing?
I guess I want to make give my perspective on Facebook to round out the subject. I mean, it seems to me, and these are not original quotes, but things I've come across, that Facebook is about friends, but Twitter is more about colleagues and work. These are general statements. You know, Facebook seems to me it's about the past, but clearly to me anyway, Twitter and blogs are about the future. So from those comments, you might surmise I don't use Facebook very often, if at all, anymore, partly because of the draconian privacy, partly because I just don't think it's a very professional medium, you know. So, you know,
sure.
So generally I would recommend use Facebook for your personal life and use these other mediums for your professional life. And I think that might be a good general guide for folks. By the way, when I was at McKesson, we used Yammer, which is basically an internal Twitter. Fantastic tool. It's behind firewalls, but it's basically Twitter for the enterprise. And I think you're going to start seeing Yammer in more and more organizations. Just a great communication tool.
Okay, good, good. Well, thanks for bringing
it. I already forgot your question. But
no, I was just asking. We were asking in terms of just things that people can look out for, be aware of that might be coming
sure.
down. Yeah.
So Poikkanen, so my Twitter handle, my primary Twitter handle is at Poikkanen, P-O-I-K-O-N-E-N. I have a number of lists that are public. I only have a few that are private, but most of my public lists you can subscribe to and get the same news feeds on all these informations. And so I have lists called, medical informatics leaders, pharmacy informatic leaders, things like that. So people feel free to use that. Well, I also have similar. I also use Google Plus a little bit less. I really wish Google Plus would catch on faster. I like the user interface. I think that's a slow burn, and I'm hoping that Google keeps its interest, because I actually love the platform of Google Plus. It's just
hasn't caught on.
The catch 22 of not enough people using it as a platform. So, but also, I follow a number of influential people there as well.
I agree with you. Nice interface on Google Plus, just not as many people there. And for anybody listening that's thinking about Twitter, that's a great place to start, is to follow people who you know or respect, and follow their lists. That's a very easy place to start getting a stream of information instead of having to go one by one all the way down. So thanks for mentioning that as well, John.
Yeah, it's not very intuitive of how you do that, but it's in there, and you can follow other people's lists. It works pretty well.
That's right. Well, John, we're coming about towards the end of our time today. Thanks so much for being with us today. I know that you're somebody who's been very actively involved in utilizing these tools on a day-to-day basis, and we certainly could have gone much, much longer and got into details, but I really appreciate you joining me and giving this broad perspective that should give people who are thinking about how to utilize these tools and technologies a good place to start. So thanks again. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Dave, thank you very much. Keep up the good work. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks. Well, that wraps up the podcast for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Feel free to go back to our website, www.healthcareis.com, to the blog section for today's show notes. Also, something new we're trying to do is provide our listeners with the ability to ask some questions to our podcast guests. So if you have any questions, or if you'd like us to gather some more information on anything you specifically heard today in the podcast, just go to our blog, and in the comment section of the blog where we announce the podcast, just put your questions there. We'll be sure to pick them up. We'll get in touch with the guest and put some responses on there, or address those responses on some future podcasts. And as always, don't forget to catch us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn for an inside view and different perspectives on Healthcare IS. We look forward to being with you again next time.